The world's first ever FDA-approved mRNA vaccine came out last year, the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. Our next guest has been studying mRNA and other gene-based vaccines for decades. She says the possibilities of these kinds of vaccines are enormous, with the potential to treat HIV, autoimmune disorders, and some kinds of cancer. Deborah Fuller is a professor of microbiology and the division chief of infectious diseases and translational medicine at the National Primate Research Center at the University of Washington. Deb, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it seems like mRNA technology for a lot of us was new with these COVID vaccines, but you and others have been researching this technology for a long time. Can you tell us about the research that may have been under the radar for most of us?
Yeah, research started over 30 years ago. Actually, a lot of research in mRNA vaccine technology started right at the University of Wisconsin there. So I actually lived in Wisconsin for almost 20 years and did a lot of my initial research there. But a lot of it got started many years ago, just with the idea that if you could get a genetic material into our cells, RNA in particular, and instruct our cells to make proteins, that those proteins could lead to induction of immune responses against those proteins. So that was sort of the concept of vaccines. But at the same time, we had always been thinking about them for other uses, like for gene therapy or for cancer immunotherapy. And so all this work has been going on for a period of about 30 years, even before SARS-CoV-2 hit us.
Talk a little bit more about how the mRNA works in the vaccine setting, if you would, before we get into some of these other treatments that are maybe in the works.
Absolutely. So mRNA actually codes for protein, and that protein would be, in this case, a protein from the virus itself. In this case, for SARS-CoV-2, it was a spike protein. And so the way RNA vaccines work is that you inject that genetic material into the body, it gets carried into the cells, and then it instructs the cells to start producing that protein. So it's like your own body becomes your own vaccine producer. So your cells are producing the vaccine antigen, and then once that's produced, your immune system can see that and start generating antibodies against that protein. Once those antibodies are made, those are going to be circulating in your blood and be able to protect you should you get exposed to SARS-CoV-2. So that's with SARS-CoV-2, but we've been working on that for many other infectious diseases even before the pandemic struck, like, for example, for HIV and for influenza, because we thought the next pandemic was actually going to be flu, and it turned out to be coronavirus. One of the beautiful things about RNA vaccines and very closely related DNA vaccines is that they can very quickly be pivoted to address really any infectious disease. So while we were working on HIV and influenza, when the pandemic struck, it was very easy for us, once they knew the sequence of the spike protein, to simply replace out the sequences for HIV or influenza and insert them into our RNA platform and then be able to inject that into people. And voila, you have a COVID-19 vaccine.
And Deb, with HIV in particular, my understanding is it is a virus that's a very hard target for vaccinations. People have been working on this for a long time. Where are we now? What kind of promise does mRNA have for an HIV vaccine?
There's a huge amount of promise. So as you mentioned, HIV is a big, big challenge. In many respects, SARS-CoV-2 was a low bar compared to HIV, which is a very, very high bar, not only because of its level of diversity, but because when that virus gets in your body, it goes latent. It can sit in your cells for a long period of time and hide from the immune system. So that has created a lot of challenges for researchers to develop an HIV vaccine. Now, recently, Moderna has started a phase 1 human clinical trial of a very promising HIV vaccine that is built on this idea that what you would do is expose the body to different antigens that represent different HIV variants and allow the body to develop these broad neutralizing antibody that could potentially protect you against any HIV variant that comes along. Now, they just started that trial, and prior to mRNA vaccines, that would be somewhat of a complicated vaccine, because what it requires is that you basically boost people with very different vaccines, somewhat differently modified vaccines, to develop their immunity. But if you're going to make a protein-based vaccine or traditional vaccine representing each one of those, that becomes almost logistically a nightmare to do. But with mRNA vaccines, because they're so simple to update and to change, you can very readily be able to immunize people with this sort of series of different exposures to different HIV antigens to induce that response. So we're very optimistic that this might be really a promising approach for HIV vaccines.
Talking to Deborah Fuller, microbiology professor, formerly here in Wisconsin, now at the University of Washington, talking about the prospects for vaccines and treatments using mRNA technology. You mentioned cancer earlier, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I understand it correctly, this wouldn't be a cancer vaccine necessarily, but a way to use mRNA to help treat people who have cancer already. Do I have that right?
Yeah, well, it's both, actually. Let's talk about the treatment first. Because that's really what's in clinical trials right now and has been actually even before the COVID-19 vaccines. There were already mRNA vaccines being tested in humans for treatment of cancer. So what happens in cancer is that we get these aberrant cells that look like they're going to be cancerous. And normally what happens is that when a cell kind of changes and becomes more tumor-like, our body recognizes that as not being normal and will eliminate that. That's what happens in a normal situation. What happens when we get cancer is that our immune system doesn't quite recognize that altered cell, and that cell then is allowed to grow into a tumor. So what mRNA vaccines are trying to do is actually stimulate in a person who already has cancer that immune response that's in our body that's capable of finding those tumor cells and eliminating them from our bodies. So how does it do that? When a cell becomes cancerous, it starts to produce these sort of new antigens. They're different from normal antigens. We call them neoantigens. And when those are produced, we can actually pull out the cells from somebody who might have cancer and actually sequence what is that neoantigen, what is it producing. And once we've identified that, that can be inserted into an mRNA vaccine, injected into that person, and then that person will better be able to make immune responses against that neoantigen, which is presented on the cancer cell. Once you have immune responses against a neoantigen, your body will see that tumor cell much more efficiently and hopefully be able to eliminate it more effectively.
I wanted to take a minute to talk about autoimmune disorders. I think for a lot of people, a very frustrating condition that doesn't seem like there's lots of treatments for. Can you take a minute to talk about what mRNA could do?
Yeah, it's sort of almost an opposite thinking in a way. We've been talking all along here about cancers and infectious diseases that we're always trying to use the mRNA vaccines to stimulate and activate an immune response to eliminate an infection or eliminate a cancer cell. In autoimmunity, we want the opposite effect, because autoimmunity is like an overactive immune response against our own self proteins. We're attacking ourselves with our immune system, basically. And so what an mRNA vaccine that is structured as more of an autoimmune sort of to suppress autoimmunity is that we alter some of the sequences in such a way that instead of stimulating and activating an immune response, we activate other types of immune cells in our body. They're called regulatory immune cells, and they function to dampen our immune system. And so if we can activate those to specifically target immune cells that are attacking our own cells, our own proteins, then we can actually dampen the immunity and suppress the autoimmune reactions in our body.
Well, Deb, we'll leave it there. Thanks for taking us on a tour of this technology.
Yeah, my pleasure.
That's Deborah Fuller, professor of microbiology and division chief of infectious diseases and translational medicine at the National Primate Research Center at the University of Washington. She talked to us today about the future potential of mRNA vaccines and treatments.